Hi, this is Bob Zanotti of SwitzerlandInSound.com. One of the highlights of my 32-year career at Swiss Radio International was my partnership with Bob Thoman, the other Bob, my co-host on the Swiss Shortwave Merry-Go-Round, also known as the Two Bobs, in which we answer technical questions about shortwave radio and the politics behind it. The Two Bobs is also part of Switzerland in Sound, and I'm delighted to announce that PCJ Radio International has decided to bring some of those shows to shortwave. The Two Bobs are proud to return to the air via PCJ Radio International. We hope you'll join us.
Hello, friends and neighbors, and hearty welcome to another program with the Two Bobs, meaning yours truly, Bob Thoman, and sitting right next to me, of course,
Bob Zanotti.
Bob, those were the days. Those were the days, Bob.
You have not said that since 1994, and we are now in 1999, and of course, we are back together. This is the resurrection of the Two Bobs. The Swiss Shortwave Merry-Go-Round on Swiss Radio International went off the air in 1994. You and I had done that program for 24 years. We almost made it to a quarter of a century together, Bob. And here we are back again. And thanks to Alfredo Cotroneo of Nexus International Broadcasting Association, IRRS Milan, he said, hey, how about the Two Bobs again? And I thought about that, and there's a reason. Because anyone who has listened to us in past years might recall the acoustics here, Bob. We are in your caravan in Sonnen at the annual glider camp. Now, how many years did we say that? Once a year, we used to come up here together. You were here anyway in the glider camp, and I was here for a day, and we would record a few editions of the Swiss Shortwave Merry-Go-Round in advance because you couldn't come to Bern all the time to do the program. Well, here it is, Bob. It's still the same glider camp, still the same caravan, still more or less the same sound, and it's still the same Bob Thoman. It's a funny feeling. Last time you and I worked together, Bob, was unfortunately the closure of Schwarzenburg, what used to be our main transmitter site outside Bern, in March 1998.
Yeah, it was the swan song of Schwarzenburg, which we did, and which we thought was very appropriate. I mean, after all, 60 years of a transmitting station, both you and I, Bob, we felt not to give it away just like that. And so we made this particular, this additional program about the history of Schwarzenburg, and I think that came out very well.
Yes, and it was featured, thanks very much to Alfredo Cotroneo, on the Internet as well, even a longer version than we were able to use on Swiss Radio International. Bob, you and I have kept in contact the last 5 years. We're both radio hams, of course. You're HB9GX, I'm HB9ASQ. And we have contacts on 10 meters between the Emmental and the outskirts of Bern on the other side where you live. But what have you been doing with yourself since the end of the merry-go-round, Bob?
Well, you get me blushing, Bob. I really wonder. Normally people say, well, once you're retired, then you have no more time. This is not exactly true, but this free time, where we don't have to go to the office anymore, I mean, we just spend it differently. And I continued my correspondence, and then eventually, thanks to my son, who has got an enterprise near Bern, he told me, it's about time, Dad, you get into a little more modern technology. What about email, and what about internet? And just said, oh gee, I don't have any use of internet. I don't know what to use, just to look for these lot of nonsense which is on that internet. There are perhaps some advantages, I agree, but eventually he asked me to do his correspondence for his business, the English correspondence and the French correspondence worldwide. So this, of course, kindled me to get started in internet. That is in email.
Kicking and screaming.
Kicking and screaming, yeah, of course. Well, I wasn't opposed, but now I had a target. I mean, if I could do this for my son.
You had a use for it.
I had a reason, a use for it, and this was that kindled me to get on. Ralph even bought me a new computer and a modem and everything which is needed.
The latest triple super whammy.
And eventually I got used to it, but it is easy enough once you know how it works. And I must say, email is a great thing. I mean, if you have a business letter or a letter going down to Australia or to South Africa, you can launch it in the morning, and in the evening you already have the reply. Mm. If you have to do this by ordinary surface mail, Bob, you can go vacationing in between. Takes 10 days or 7 days.
Oh, email is terrific. It certainly is. Yeah.
Email is terrific, and it's a great asset, I must say. Mm. So this, of course, getting acquainted with this new gag and this new technology on the commercial side, of course. On the radio ham side, I went into Pactor 2, which is, Pactor, which is a word combination from packet radio, and Cytor.
Now, this is basically text transmission.
It's text transmission, purely, yeah. But I must say, over HF, and theoretically, you can deliver data up to 700-800 bit per second baud, so to speak, and this is a remarkable speed for HF.
No, that's not bad at all.
It's not bad at all. It's not that, of course, it cannot match the 56 kilobytes which you have on the email or on a data net, but still, for HF, I still see a useful application for certain purposes, emergencies, and you know as well as I do, Bob, I've been 10-11 years with the Swiss Disaster Relief Corps, and all these help corps and institutions, they need a means of communication from the field back home to order to communicate and so on.
Something that could be set up easily, right? I mean, under field conditions.
Of course. I mean, you have to have...
Basically ham radio technology.
It's ham radio technology. You have to have a generator that supplies you the power. No doubt about that. But on the other hand, you have more and more satellite technology coming on, going via Inmarsat, the International Maritime Satellite, mm-hmm. which the abbreviation stands for. And from then on, you can, of course, also communicate even with greater speeds. But there's one crucial point to my liking. This is the cost. Satellite is still gets you an invoice at the end of the month. If you do the communications by satellite,
I think it's, what is it, $12 a minute?
It depends a little bit which company, which provider you have, and what company. I think all these human help companies have a special rate, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but still, it's still not a cheap thing.
Yeah. Well, you could say that these costs of communication is peanuts compared with the rest of the help efforts that company has to do. But anyway, this is an addition, and that's why I still believe in HF, Bob. A lot of people, they wrinkle their nose and say, "Well, HF is dead. HF is gone." That's not true.
I don't believe it. I mean, we'll get into this in a few minutes because we have very strong feelings about it. Bob, oh, you hear them hollering out there?
Yeah, the rafting.
Oh, boy, we got one rubber raft after the other going down the Sana River here in western Switzerland, just around the corner from Gstaad. Lots of activities, planes, we hear them in the background, too. Bob, incidentally, we've been talking a lot about ham radio. I've been reading some dialogue through the internet, funny enough, and through email, where people have been speculating about the death of amateur radio. Has it outlived its usefulness? And now with the internet, are people going to become more interested in the internet and drop ham radio? And it was actually Glenn Hauser in one of his Rebolds. This is the electronic version of the Review of International Broadcasting, and such a special mailing list he had. And I took exception. I said, look, the magic of amateur radio is never going to die. It's just like anything else. the internet has its purpose, but it's just not the same. And I gave the example of when I go on vacation, I often go to Italy, for example, and I've got a new transceiver. It's an ICOM 735 transceiver. Through you, I got it. Very good used deal there. Someone you knew was liquidating it. And I'm very, very happy with it. And I pack it along and just take a wire, a 20-meter-long piece of wire and an antenna tuning unit. And it's compact. I put it in the back of the car, put it in a carton box with a microphone and just whatever I need. And there are lots of pine trees, you know, on the beaches there, near the beaches in the Tuscany area where we go, not far from Grosseto. And trying the old stone on the end, throwing it up into the trees, trying to get that piece of wire just strung up into a tree, sort of a semi-vertical wire, sort of a diagonal wire into a tree, get the ATU going. And Bob, we have a regular contact there. We have an agreement. We check on 7 megs normally, about 7100, something like that. And Bob, I was putting through a beautiful signal. 9S9, 10 over, you were coming through with a ton of bricks. I mean, fantastic. I had contacts. I heard Americans, Canadians coming in. I had contacts with Scandinavia, contacts with Eastern Europe, Britain. And okay, fine, if you had the internet with you, you could send these people an email, but it's not based on any personal accomplishment.
Right.
It's the miracle, the fascination of throwing up a piece of wire, hooking it up, and doing, you know, a few things on your own there, getting it set up, and actually communicating. That fascination will never be replaced by the internet. That was my answer, and I take it that you agree.
Yeah, well, just outside the caravan here, when you look over there, you see my ham station there. It's
your portable ham shack, which is bigger than a lot of people's permanent ham shacks.
it's H24, meaning it's on the air. It's a packed-door mailbox there. It's going around the clock, but you can work also telephony and the antenna. You have seen it. It's also swung by the stone technique.
Yeah, I don't know how you do it. You get it so high in the trees, right over the caravan.
Well, this year is not quite.
You shoot
as
it up
high.
With a gun or what?
No. Just by swinging an appropriate stone on a piece of string,
and you hope it doesn't break.
let it go at the appropriate moment. You see, and if you're lucky, then it comes eventually down on the other side.
But hopefully, it doesn't hit somebody down below.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why I do it first thing when I come to San, and then nobody's around, and they can swing my stone the way I like. But anyway, to say the other day, you can also work with this makeshift installation of antenna here, Bob. On 15 meters, I had a very agreeable QSO with N3 AM, John in Washington.
A voice?
Voice, yes, just like that, you see. So
you don't need megawatts of power either.
No, I had 100 watts peak. Tell me how else should have contacted this radio amateur station by what? By satellite?
Mobile phone.
Mobile phone? No.
It's
well,
not
could,
the same.
I could have ring him on the commercial phone, and this would have given me, I don't know, perhaps to have an hour, $35 of telephone revenues, you see, or revenues cost, if you may. But that's why HF, and also for amateur radio, still has its purpose to be not only for communicating, but it gives you so many aspects in
personal satisfaction.
Yeah, and also personal experience in a certain technical know-how. I know there are two families of hams. We call them the appliance operators. You see, just the plug in the
pull it out of the carton and start transmitting.
Yeah, and then when it starts smoking, then the problems begin. But the other side is that really they want to know how it works and get into the technicalities and getting familiar. And I still believe amateur radio still today is a bank of technically interested and motivated youngsters who later on, I say it again, will be the operators and the the technicians and the engineers of tomorrow.
Bob, we've only got about 28 minutes for this whole program, and we're sort of halfway through it already. I'd like to turn to something here, and that is something which is dear to both of our hearts, and it has very much to do with what you were just saying. Anyone who listened to the two Bobs way back in our heyday will know what we believe in shortwave. I'd like to make something very clear. You and I are not against new technology. We're not against the internet being used as a medium to broadcast. We're not against satellites. But we believe that shortwave has a future and that its life is not yet finished. But Bob, over all those years, you know, 25 years we did that program together, we're using a shortwave outlet right now, IRRS in Milan, Nexus. People are listening to us on shortwave and have faith and interest in shortwave too. What good general advice, based on all those years' experience, Bob, can we offer? What can you offer? General advice for getting the maximum performance from your shortwave receiver.
Well, of course, there's an endless list.
I have a feeling you're going to start with the antenna, right?
Now, I'm going to start with the who's a decent shortwave receiver. And perhaps when you say satellite and that sort of thing, if you go and spend your vacation, you go to Grosseto or the neighborhood, or somebody else goes to Spain or to Egypt or to the Red Sea, you name them, and stay there and linger around on the beach, and they would like to listen to the news back home and see what's going on in Europe and so on and so forth. How does it go about a satellite installation? Does it take a trunk with him full of love?
Well, I've said it before many times, even during when we were still on the air. You cannot put a parabolic dish in your back pocket or pack it in the suitcase and take it along with you on your travels. This is the point why shortwave is so important and why it's going to remain, I think, for a long time.
A small, a good designed, a proper shortwave receiver can be combined with medium and VHF. An FM stage, of course, no doubt. There are many makes of, we have heard many names from Japan and so on. They all work. But the other thing is, of course, and Bob mentioned it, before you can get a decent signal out of this receiver, you have to make sure that something gets into that receiver.
And that's the antenna.
And that's the antenna. And most of these portable receivers do, well, they have a whip. They have a whip antenna which fits the size of the set, but of course a whip antenna can never replace a good outdoor aerial. Which I'm not speaking of the beach. Mm. It's hard to put the beer. First of all, I don't know how to find a tree there on the beach. But if you have the possibility at home and you're interested in international shortwave listening, then it pays investing a little bit of money on a decent aerial wire. And if really you want to play the big shot there, then you can get a directional beam antenna, which is mostly out for the majority of listeners. Yeah. But radio amateurs do that, and say amateurs with a great success rate, they work with a multi-element beam antenna. Mm-hmm. And makes, Bob, you know as well as I do, that that's the difference from a whip aerial to a decent signal.
It's like the beam on a flashlight or a car. Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing.
Yeah, the candlelight or the...
Yeah, said this, the omnidirectional antenna, or just the piece of wire, is like a bare light bulb, but when you put a reflector behind it, then you have a strong beam.
Yeah.
The same thing happens with radio energy, of course.
Yeah. Well, of course, to listen to a broadcasting station in the 40-meter band or IRRS around Europe, you don't really need a terrific outdoor antenna. But there were days where and listeners are interested in coping for distant stations. They want to listen to...
Then you have to start getting serious.
Then, of course. Yeah. Then the whip will get you nowhere, unless you have you picked a very favorable day where propagation is outstandingly good. You may pick up one or the other far-distance station. But overall, over a long run, a good aerial will provide the necessary signal to provide for you're hopefully going to receive it.
Bob, I see it's actually starting to become a vintage object anymore. It was a fine receiver. It's not made anymore. I don't believe so. It's the Sony 7600 D.
Yeah.
It had a nice sound, and it did a very good job, and you've had that for years and years and years.
It still works.
Still works, and even with the built-in whip.
Yeah.
It does a good job, because these modern receivers are very sensitive.
Yeah, well,
they will perform with a whip.
I'm not quite up
not in a concrete bunker, of course.
Yeah.
But
I'm not quite up to par, Bob, with the newer receiver technology, what's on the market and so on. I must say, during the last 5 years, I have been concentrating a little bit on different items. So I would not even be in a position to recommend which is the best portable receiver money could buy today. You know, we had a list of good receivers, such as the Sony you mentioned, was among the tops there.
At the time, yeah.
And today...
2001, that was another one?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, basically, a receiver is a receiver. I think it doesn't change that drastically. Perhaps components, one or the other component may have been bettered, have been improved. Mm. But
dramatic changes are not going
to happen. I don't think so. It's what I would like to see is a receiver that provides a good tuning device with no or very little backslash. You know, when you tune the knob, or having a band spread and things like that. I don't know whether that kind of gimmick is.
But everything is digital today with, of course, with notch filters and things like that. So the modern receivers, the better ones, are approaching good, serious amateur radio transceivers, mm-hmm. or at least receivers, yeah. in their performance. So this is the irony, Bob. We have better and better receivers doing a better and better job, but more and more stations are cutting back on shortwave broadcasting.
It's funny. When you look at the World Radio Administrative Conferences, the battle for shortwave space is so terrific. And you really start wondering why for a dead media? Why the heck are they so interested to reserve frequency space if their transmissions are going down the drain? So this is a paradox I never understood. Mm. Is it the military people who is trying to reserve frequency space, which I cannot see the purpose for it? I don't believe that shortwave broadcasting will increase drastically. It will reduce perhaps to a few stations, and they will continue, hopefully.
Ironically, this leaves people like Alfredo Cotroneo of Nexus IRRS, in a good position because there's less interference, less competition for frequencies, I guess, and it gives stations like IRRS a better shot on shortwave. I'm convinced that there's always going to be an audience for shortwave. The receivers are there. The receivers are there by the millions upon millions upon millions, and there will be people still insisting on using shortwave. That's one of the first things that gets packed in a suitcase. That's what I do. And I'm glad that there are stations still remaining that do actually use shortwave. And I think that we will actually very well see a revival. Which brings us, of course, before we get on to the future, one or two little hints that we used to traditionally give out. We recall, of course, that IRRS uses reduced carrier single sideband. And you were always a champion of that. And I know that Alfredo took that very seriously. In fact, one of his transmitters, actually two of them, because he has a reserve transmitter, are from Schwarzenberg. They were the aeronautical transmitters that you used for so many years, Bob. Yeah. And they were designed for this kind of modulation. And Alfredo is doing a terrific job with the modulation. He's got a really powerful, potent signal. He's added new audio processing there, an Orban, which is the world's leading clipper at the moment, the best processing available. So the signal is sounding really quite punchy, and you're grinning. I know you've heard it, so I take it that you're happy with the sound. It agrees with your technical philosophy.
Well, yes. well, the sound has changed so many times over the years, Bob. But I think they have settled to something which is quite acceptable. And if I listen to IWRS, I always put it on the upper sideband in sideband, because the quality and the frequency range suits me much better than if I tune to AM. This also has to do because my AM detector in the receiver may be not quite as good as the single sideband detection, you see. Mm-hmm. I can only hope and wish Alfredo luck with the future of his station there. Sometimes I wish that he would have programs that would more attract my interest, and some of the honky-tonk music that's not exactly to my liking, but of course that's the individual range of preference one has in listening to a program.
Well, this brings up the private radio producers, the so-called pirate producers, who are not pirates because IWRS is a legitimate station, but these are mainly young people looking for a legitimate, powerful outlet for their programs. And I guess if you look at it one way, Bob, philosophically, it's certainly to be greeted, because it's maintaining a new wave of programming on shortwave. And from what I hear from Alfredo, there's quite a following to these programs, and it's, in a way, giving a boost to the popularity of shortwave.
Yeah, of course, but it selects very sharply also the list of the audience, Bob. Because personally, well, at my age now, I must admit, I have nothing on my head with this honky-tonk techno sound here. This is out of, I don't know, I mean, you can have it.
Yeah.
No techno for me, but there may be the youngsters and the kids, they look at these open techno parties they give in Berlin the other day, 1.5 million techno freaks there.
The Love Parade. Yeah.
The Love Parade. So obviously there is a new generation that goes for it. Mm. Bob, I'm afraid we're too old.
Well, as a matter of fact, I do listen to some of the programs still. Some of the stuff I have trouble with as well, I must say. But of course, along with the music, there are the voice messages, the programming. We hear programs from Swiss Radio International on there. There are programs, I don't mind mentioning them, that are carried, like, for example, New Dimensions. I find there's a very interesting philosophy and discussions. I really enjoy serious, spiritual, new age, if you like, very enlightening discussions. And I think there's a little bit of something for everybody. And I have a feeling, to just wind this up, because we're running out in the last couple of minutes, Bob, as we look towards the future of shortwave, I hope it isn't wishful thinking. I think it has a future. I think we're going through, well, as one says in German, we're going through a dry period. We're going through the desert right now. But there's an oasis on the other side. I think there will be a new awareness of the usefulness of shortwave. And as long as we have sacred fires, you know, les feux sacrés, like Alfredo and others, keeping the flame alive, that we have a chance that when we get this desert behind us, that we will find a renewal of interest in shortwave, possibly digital, improving the quality of shortwave transmission, the sound quality and the transmission quality of shortwave. They're working on it. The Deutsche Welle is active. The Voice of America is interested. The French, I believe, are involved. So things are changing. Let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. Shortwave is a medium, but we can do a lot with it still in the future. That's my feeling.
Yes, well, digital over shortwave, I see one shortcoming, Bob. You have to change the receiving equipment. And this will be, of course,
the manufacturers will love it.
Of course.
They can sell more equipment.
Yeah, but it's also a price question here. How much money are future shortwave listeners willing to invest into new equipment, digital over shortwave?
Well, this is a question of marketing, and if there's the will, there's the desire to promote shortwave, number one shortwave, and number two digital shortwave, then this can be done. Look what happened with all the promotion of satellite. Everything went satellite, because whatever you're pushing at the moment, whatever you're promoting and marketing, obviously is going to succeed. It's too late to tell. The patient is badly ill, but not yet dead. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be.
Yeah, okay, that's a good answer here. So, and the future will tell us, Bob.
All right, Bob, 30 minutes of the revived, the resurrected Two Bobs coming from the glider camp in Sanen. This is the first time we've sat down to do this, Bob, in 5 years. Alfredo, thank you very much for having the idea. Thank you very much for giving us the airtime. Bob, it's time for that final goodbye in our inimitable style.
So for me, Bob Tomlin, and
Bob Zanotti,
it's goodbye.
Good DXing.
And very best of 73s.